That's funny. I left the house this morning, and my wife's like, "Oh, why are you going up so early?" I said, "So I can get things all connected." Apparently not this. Next week I got to leave earlier. There we go. But that's the story of my life. I was like, "What'd you do today?" I don't know. Whatever it did, it took me all day to do it. But in your Ephesians chapter 6, there's this spiritual battle that we have. And in here, we are pressed on every side. As Christians, we need to realize that our main purpose, our main cause is to live for the Lord. That in here, to allow the Lord to work in us for His good pleasure. That in here, that we can be a testimony to those around us. To share with words and love and deeds what the Lord has done in our life. And that He's real. That in here, that hopefully that people will want what we want. Hopefully it becomes infectious. And sharing our faith. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. He wants all to come to Him. But in here, there's a battle that's taking place, and it's a spiritual battle. That in here, we do have an enemy. We have an enemy named Satan who wants to distract us and keep us busy or so ineffective for him. And Ephesians chapter 6 starts off here, verse 13. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand." You know, I'm going to just pause right there because I want to encourage you in this. You know, because every one of those times where you just feel like it takes all I have just to get out of bed today. You ever had those moments? Right? You know, I'm just kind of, my goal is just to make it to the end of the day without collapsing, right? And anyway, we need to realize that, look, as the Lord is working in us, right, He's not asking you necessarily to have these great victories and to press on and conquer and all these things because, oh man, sometimes I just want to make it through the day. But the goal here, and what the Lord requires of us, is to stand. Just stand. Stand firm. When the enemy is going on, when the storms around us are going on, just stand. You can do that. I'm pretty good at standing. I can stand around and I can do it, right? Until I get attacked. But hold my ground. So, what the Lord's not asking you isn't some spiritual giant feat that seems insurmountable. Just stand. Let the Lord work the battle. That it was me against Satan, He whipped my hiney. Can you say hiney in church? I don't know. Right? I don't have a chance. But it's His armor. It's His battle. I just got to stand and let Him fight the battle for me. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." In the last 2 weeks, we turned around and we talked about the belt of truth and that desire to seek out what God wants. The breastplate of righteousness. Then here, talking about protecting our hearts, our emotions, and trusting the Lord for all this. And in here, Paul uses this illustration, this picture of the Roman soldier ready for battle. And in Paul's time, there was no one that was more prepared for battle than the Romans. And Paul picks up each piece of this armor. I mean, remember, it's not my armor. It's not that I'm good enough. It's not that I'm wise enough. Not that I'm strong enough. Because I'm not. And you're probably not either. But it's God's armor. And as we put on each one of these pieces, He can have victory in our lives. And I think all of us want to have victory. No matter where we are. Today we talk about this idea of having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's a mouthful. And it's not quite as complicated as it sounds. Having shod means to put on. Put your shoes on. I remember years ago, my sister was always tired of fighting with her kids. Put your shoes on. We're leaving. And then it turned into this whole process. So in the middle of winter, she told her son, she goes, look, we're leaving in 2 minutes. Whether or not you have your shoes on. And she goes, took her about 3 times carrying her kids out without their shoes on, going in there, pushing them through the snow, getting them in the car, and then they learned, okay, maybe I should put my shoes on. As Christians, we talk about this gospel of peace, right? So have shod means to put on, be ready, right? You ever had someone come pick you up? You put your shoes on, don't you? So when they come, you're all ready? Have your feet shod. Be ready. And it says the preparation of the gospel of peace. The idea is just be ready. With the preparation, the readiness of the gospel of peace. The gospel just means good news. Folks, you watch the news lately? How much good news do you see? Not a whole lot. I'm a news guy. I like the news. I could watch it 24 hours a day. And I've gotten to a point where I'm kind of sick of it. You just walk around depressed. Right? How many are you ready for some good news? Can I tell you something? We have not just good news, but we have the best news. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That in here, I'm a sinner. And Christ died for me. He paid the penalty for you and for me, that we can have a relationship with Him. God wants to know you and have you know Him. Now the Romans, I'm not a big shoe guy. I only have a few shoes. When I married my wife, one of the first things I noticed when we moved in together after we were married, that she had several boxes of shoes. I didn't realize people needed more. Yeah, you know? I mean, I have a pair of sneakers. I got sandals and flip-flops, which I never had. And, you know, I got a pair of work boots, and that pretty much covers it. You know? I don't understand the whole boxes of shoes. Shoes are important. And I never understood either. This is a whole side issue there. But I remember, you ladies, you guys are brave. You know, because, you know, you turn around and get into the car, the first thing you want to do is kick off your shoes because your feet have been hurting all day, but they look good. Right? But in here, we have the Roman soldier. One of their successes, believe it or not, among all their armor, wasn't just their swords, wasn't all their spears, wasn't all these weapons we think of. Actually, a lot of historians will say that the success of the Roman soldier was because of his shoes. They were designed because in the Roman days you had to travel many miles. Marching and marching. And in here, the Romans had devised a way of layering the sandals of the leather. And in here, of having it strapped on, that they were lightweight, yet mobile, and yet they still gave the support, and still gave enough cushion that the soldier was able to go on and continue on and on and on and on. Then in here, on the bottom, oftentimes what they would do is they take and they would tap in these little spikes. Which I think I zoomed in here. I don't know if you can see that or not. But they'd have little brass buttons that they would put on the bottom. And it actually depends on the terrain, because in some places, actually, they turn around and put small nails or spikes. So I'm going to come into modern-day cleats, if you will. That here on the battlefield, they're off battling, and you're fighting, and you're on the grass, and you're on the turf, that you're able to plant your feet and stand. And stand. Without being prepared and being ill-prepared, folks, we will slide and they will go. A couple years ago, we were traveling, and I was coming back from preaching, and I had, you know, my fancy shoes on, a leather bottom, and we ran out of gas, which I was famous for when I was younger, because I was always like, "Oh, we can make it to that," right? And then we didn't always make it, and so I had to get out and try to push the car, and it was just starting to be winter, so there's a little bit of snow on the road. And you ever tried to push a car in dress shoes? It just did not work. I was just sliding all over the place. I fell down. My oldest was in the car. She turned around. She's laughing as I'm sliding all over the road. I'm getting muddy and dirty, and I was not happy. And the madder I got, the more she laughed. It was just bad. Because I wasn't able to stand. I didn't have any traction. I was just a victim to what was going on. And Paul uses this illustration for us. He talks about the gospel of peace. Folks, when we stand with the Lord, one of the things I'm realizing more and more is that we need His peace. The world doesn't have it. Turn on TV and there's violence and anger. People are shouting at each other. Right? First thing we need to realize, we talk about this idea of peace, this gospel of peace. And God's peace in us is we have our peace with God. The first good news I want you to know, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've allowed Him to forgive your sins, that you have peace with Him. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, we're all these around, we get pulled around in every direction and tugged and trying to please everyone and trying to keep up with everyone. Our world will drag us down and we lose our peace. We lose our ability to sleep at night. When our peace is gone, our joy goes out the window, doesn't it? Just give me peace. And the first of it comes in that, look, this is God's armor, remember? So these are God's shoes, if you will, I'm putting on. And in here, my first goal is to realize I have peace with God. And He's the important one. You know, if we just try to live at peace with everyone around us, it's not really going to happen. And it will eat us up inside. But if we turn around and look at God and look at Christ and know I'm at peace and rest at Him, isn't it all that should matter? And in here, as we have peace with God and we rest in the assurances of all that we have in Him, then everything else starts falling away. Sing the old hymn, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." See, oftentimes what happens in our lives is we're looking all around, we're trying to scope the horizon, looking for peace, looking for hope, looking for all these things, instead of realizing, wait a minute, there's only one person I need to look at. That's Jesus. And knowing that I receive peace from Him. Doesn't matter what I've done. Doesn't matter my past. I can be at peace with Him. That's a cool deal, isn't it? And as we relish, really relish in that relationship we have with Him, the peace that we can have with Him, then everything else starts falling into place. The book of Isaiah puts it this way: "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Let me ask you, how's your peace level? How's your peace level? You know, talk to the doctors, and one of the big medical conditions that they talk about now are areas of depression. The number one medicines that they're dispersing nowadays are for depression. There's no peace in that. The peace comes from the Lord. That in here, we turn around and be satisfied with Him. Now, I'm not saying that there's no medical things, and I'm not that foolish. I will say, that I know in my life, when I get my eyes off the Lord, my peace goes out the window. And I love this verse. It's one of those ones I memorized. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Lord, help me focus on you. Because Jesus says this before he went away. He says, peace I leave with you. He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is the source of your peace? If your peace is from the world, guess what? The world can take it away. If your peace comes in the stuff and items that you have. I remember living up in the county, and there was a mill, and everyone wanted to get a mill job because they're like, if you get a mill job, you're set for life. Well, guess what? The mills are laying off. The mills are closing. If your hope is in the stock market, good luck with that. The things of this world are all temporary. What the world gives, the world can take away. But Jesus says, look, my peace I give to you. Right? That relationship we have with Him, He gives us that peace, and He will not ever take that away. I found this quick little chart. Talk about the world's peace versus God's peace. In here, the world's peace depends on your feeling, right? How do you feel? That's a battle cry we have today. How do you feel? I feel lousy, but I can still have joy. See, God's peace does not depend on that. Now look, no matter my circumstances in this world, I can have peace because my peace comes from God. The world's peace must be seen. God's peace comes from the unseen. Right? I'm waiting for the answer. I expect the answer. I know it's a solution. It's not coming. I'm freaking out! But God's peace, I can rest in Him. I know all things work together for good. I know He will never leave me and forsake me. I don't know how God's going to work it out, but I know He will. God's peace. The world's peace doesn't allow for troubles. God's peace does. So you need to realize that in our lives, oftentimes our cry is, I don't know about you, but God stopped the storm. Whatever I'm in, whatever battle I'm in, right? Does anyone remember there was an old commercial, Calgon Take Me Away? I think it was a bubble bath thing. All right? I'm showing my age. But there's the scene starts through the house and the kids are throwing things, tying up the cat or however. Dumping. There's this huge mess and all this frizzy going on. And you go down through and finally they go through the bathroom door and there's the mom in the bathtub with this Calgon bubble bath. She's like, this Calgon, take me away. Looking for an escape. And we have a lot of people who are turning to other things as a means of escape. The pain is hard. And so I'll turn for something just to make the world go away for a while. And I'll find these things that will maybe sedate, or maybe I'll find things that will dull in the pain for a while, but they are still there. And my cry over the years is, Lord, stop it. Take it all away. But I'm finding, the more I walk with the Lord, I realize that He doesn't always stop the storm. But He'll always see us through it. That I can have peace in the midst of the storm. And what a blessing that is. The world's peace is, I need to manage. I need to do. You know what? I'm not in control. And ultimately, the world's peace will always fail. God's never will. In the midst of the storm, Jesus took out His disciples. And they were going through, and there was a long day, and Jesus was tired. And He fell asleep in the boat, and they were crossing over. And this is what a perfect illustration of this is. In Luke chapter 8, it says, but as they sailed, He fell asleep. And the windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like you're in the storm and I'm doing all I can, I'm bailing. The water's coming in quicker than it's going you care? I'm not going to be too hard on the disciples, because I've been there too. How about you? And in the midst of all of this, it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased and were calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? You know, Jesus was asleep in the boat. He had perfect peace in the storm. Oh Lord, help me to be like you. Give me your peace in the midst of it all. You know, and Satan knows, right? We talk about this as a spiritual warfare. Satan knows just the thing to get you going. This is in Isaiah. I got the wrong reference here. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the God of peace will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Yeah, but Lord, no, be nothing. Yeah, but how about, no, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. So this week I spent a lot of time praying to get my mind right. I remember talking to a lady once and we were sharing, and in here we were talking about how, when you feel tempted or when you feel discouraged, pray. Every time. Stop what you're doing and pray. And she goes, man, I be praying all the time. I said, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Exactly. Exactly. So that's why prayer isn't an act where I have to stop and fall down or lay down or go to a certain place. Prayer is an everyday thing. And sometimes our prayers can be long, but sometimes the prayers can be, Lord, help. Right? Lord, help my thoughts. Help me think on you. Be thankful and turn my mind. And Lord, work in me. Prayers all throughout the day. Probably more effective than one giant prayer at the end. To keep our minds on the Lord and what He wants me to do. Hey Lord, if I'm doing what you want me to do, then give me your peace. Regardless of what everyone else is saying, what else everyone else is just all the garbage that they're doing. Help me keep my eyes on you. Give me your peace. I came across this list. I want to give you eight. I'm going to go through these really quick. Eight practical tips for peace. All right, you ready? First one. Seek to eliminate suspicions and resentments. What do I mean? You ever been burnt? You ever had someone hurt you? What happens is, all of a sudden, now, when you think people are talking, they're talking about you. Right? You're suspicious. Or if no one calls you, you wonder what's going on. And all of a sudden your imagination starts running off. Right? You ever done that? And all of a sudden now everyone's against you. Oh, they're plotting. I know what they're doing. Oh, yeah, okay. And all of a sudden your brain is going 100 miles an hour. You ever do that? If you start doing that throughout the day, guess what? Your peace goes away. See, only God knows everything. I don't. And you don't. So you don't know someone's motives. You don't know what they're doing behind your back. They don't know, right? And I love the verse the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Right? Focus on today. So we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus says, look, worry about today. Right? Tomorrow has its own worries. Don't worry about those. Don't worry about all the unknowns. Now I'll tell you, it's easy for us to slip into this, oh no, what ifs, what are they doing? And all these suspicions and our imaginations go crazy. And in here builds a resentment. Second thing, don't live in the past. Whatever your past is, if you've asked God to forgive you, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanses from all unrighteousness. Whatever your past is, if you lay it down at the cross, it's gone. It's forgiven. Now, does that mean I don't have to make something right with maybe someone? Yeah. I mean, sometimes we can reconcile and say, hey, what do I have to do to make this right? But sometimes they'll turn around and you say, nothing. Then what? Okay, Lord. I've done my part. I've tried to make it right. Now that's between them and you now. But Lord, I know I've done the right thing. And then once those things are done, leave it in the past. And so many of us are haunted by our past. And they rob us of our peace and rob us of our joy. Don't waste your time and your energy fighting things you cannot change. They did a study years ago, and they talk about people who are, you know, CEOs, and then they have the middle guys, and then you have the workers, and they talk about who's the one who has the most stress. It's the middle management. Because these are people who are required to do things, but have no power to do it. Right? The CEO has all the power. The guy on the bottom knows he has no power. I'm just doing what I'm told. But the guys in the middle are told to do something. Same thing in our lives. Right? There are things I can't control. I can't control what you think. I can't control what you do. And if I try to do that, it will drive me nuts. I think AA puts it this way in the Serenity Prayer. Lord, help me to change the things I can, to accept the things I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's a powerful prayer there in our lives. Because all I can do is what I can do. And you know what? The Lord does not expect more from you than you can do. And don't waste time, energy on things you have no control over. How about this one? Stay involved in the real world. Right? God designed us to be interactive. Eyeball to eyeball. And what happens in our lives, that look, when things are going on, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll withdraw. Right? All of a sudden, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be around other people. I'm doing all these things. And as I get more inclusive, as I get more wrapped up in me, I'll tell you, it becomes a very dark place. The worst place I can never be is stuck here. But as I get out and interact and love and serve and minister, and as I do these things, I'll tell you, the joy comes, the peace comes. Then in here, you see what God's doing in other people's lives. And I said the real world here because Facebook is not the real world. Actually, most of the time, it's probably an evil place. Because how people talk and people act and respond, they would never probably do face-to-face. That's not the real world. I usually talk about people who are on social media more often and more depressed. Because you're like, oh, everyone else is doing this. Oh, they're doing that. I wasn't invited. And all of a sudden, you're like, everyone has a wonderful life and everyone has all this. And man, where I'm at stinks. That's not the real world. Get out. We're told in Hebrews, don't forsake the assemblies of yourselves together. Folks, church is a powerful thing to be around other believers. You help me in my life, and I'm here to help you in your life. As we all point each other towards God, we have peace. Let's see. We already did that one. Here we go. Don't indulge in self-pity. Woe is me. How many of you guys are familiar with Winnie the Pooh? How do you guys know who Eeyore is? Don't be an Eeyore. Well, no one invited me anyways. No one cares for me. Right? I'm going to eat worms and die. My mom always said it to us. Every time we were all kind of sulking around the house, she goes, I'm going to eat worms. I don't even know what that's from. I'm going to eat worms. I'm eating worms. I'm still here. But in here, right? We get that. Oh, myself. I'm the only one. And man, why is this happening to me? And I'll tell you, this world, there's a lot of bad stuff out there. Right? There are sicknesses and cancers and all these things that go on. And you know, we've been down that road, and it's easy to fall into the why me. Folks, we live in a sinful world. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. There are things that happen just because we are in this world. Isn't that God zeroing in on us and zapping us? But in here, He draws near to us in these things. The Bible says there's no temptation given to you but such is common to man. Like, chances are what you're going through, some other people have gone through too. Maybe, and this is one of the powerful things in the church, because if I'm wrestling with my kids, there's other people who, you know what, I've been down there. I've had a kid just like yours. Oh yeah, help me out. Right? I'm having problems with my marriage. Well, guess what? My husband's just like your husband. Here, this is how the Lord helped us in all this. Anyway, the church becomes a sounding board of encouragement. The worst thing we can come to church and say, hey, I'm perfect and I'm wonderful and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to sing and go home and walk out with a big smile on my face and say, oh. Then I get in the car like, ugh. Right? And then what happens is another couple is going through the same thing. Oh, yeah, I'm wonderful. Yeah, your life is great, wonderful. They get in the car like, ugh. And they're like, oh man, how come I just can't be like them? Because they're wonderful all the time. Guess what? We're all kind of miserable at times. We're all battling things at times. And there's a comfort in that, as sick as that sounds. Because when we feel like we're the only ones, we feel alone. When we feel like no one understands, it robs us of our joy. And God wants to give us peace. Dwell on joy, love, compassion, good humor, and loyalty. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, think on these things, Scripture says. We have a choice on what we focus on. We can look on the bad side or we can look on the good side. It's our choice. We can look at the trials or we can look at the blessings. It's our choice. And in here, the Lord wants to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. God wants to produce these things in our lives. These are all things that we want, but we can focus on the misery, or we can focus on the joy. We can focus on the enemy, or we can focus on the Lord. And I had to put in here good humor. Well, some of you might say, well, God doesn't have a sense of humor. Look in the mirror. Some of you are like, ooh, right? God's got a sense of humor. You ever gone through something and at the time you're like, but fast forward a couple of years and you can laugh about it, right? I remember we're going through a spell and it seemed like everything was just dumping on us. Boom, 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 boom. And finally we got to a point, my wife and I, we're like, we just got to laugh about it. Right? Otherwise, you know, take us away and lock us up. We got that choice. You get to a point where you're just like, all right. Yep, okay, here we go. You don't take everything quite so serious. Got two more. Don't expect too much of yourself. I can tell you one of the biggest things that I found that destroys is expectations. What are expectations? Because if we set them too high, we will always fail. You know, like I said, this week I had a conversation with someone and they're like, Pastor, you tell all the stories. Well, yeah, I do. And hopefully, not about me, but hopefully to illustrate the Scriptures. You know? The apostle says, we can only speak of those things which we have heard and which we have seen. That's all I can do. But when we came and we candidated, you knew it, right? We were here for about almost a couple months before. You guys knew what you were getting. Right? It ain't going to get better. But the expectation, well, we thought, right? If we turn around and live our lives having higher expectations of people or too much of myself. It's a wonderful verse in the Bible. It talks about God. He says, He knows our frames. I love that verse. He knows my frame. He knows what I can handle. He knows what I can do. And when I try to do too much or even too little, right? That destroys my walk. You know, I have a little Ford Ranger. It's a little truck. My daughter has gotten into the habit. We'll be somewhere. If we park next to a bigger truck, she walks out and she'll say, "Oh, Dad, look at that beautiful, manly truck." She goes, "Oh, yeah, but not yours. I'm in that one." Right? I told you I was at the gas station and someone's like, "Well, you know, if you put Supreme gas in it, maybe your truck will grow up." You know, I have a little truck. And I like my little truck. And you know what? A little truck does great little truck things. Right? And as long as I don't try, I'm not going to go out and plow the roads with Elwin this winter and pile on 10 tons of, right? No, it's not what it's made for. It's great at what it does. Right? Folks, if we can get accepted in the Beloved, God, you want for me what you want for me, and I accept that of what you expect from me, you will find peace and joy. But when we get overburdened, expecting too much of ourselves, the enemy is really good at doing that. And the last thing I want to put in here is have something bigger and better than yourselves to believe in. And folks, put things in perspective. We are in the battle with the Lord. We're part of the God's kingdom. And someday we're going to be with Him and rule and reign with Him. And heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And when we put things in perspective, that I'm living for a bigger cause and a bigger goal than just myself and my selfishness. Lord, give me your peace. Because you know what? I might be battling here, but I'm living for the kingdom of God. I serve not you, but I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's a pretty cool predicament, isn't it? And what we have is bigger than all these things. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that the battle belongs to you. Give us your peace, Lord. Help me to stand firm in the comfort to know that you love me and care for me. Give me your peace. In the midst of the storm, fix my eyes upon you, Lord, and give me your peace. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to